a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. This is Joe Kufka in the governor's office. We're ready to begin our weekly news conference, and here's Governor Mike Rounds.
Good morning. I'd like to begin today by talking a little bit about part of our budget and the discussions that will lead us to a final budget at the end of this legislative session. Part of it are the expenditures that we look at for the year, a lot of which are fixed. But there's one area that we follow beginning in December all the way through, and that's our revenue projections. We start with our budget in December revising not only the revenue projections for the coming year, the year that we're in right now, but also for the coming year as well, and we give what we believe to be the anticipated tax receipts in the general fund. As we move through, remember, the fiscal year begins in July and it ends the following June. And so this year, as we look at fiscal year 10, that began in July and it ends in June. And then the new year begins in July for fiscal year 11. Now, the legislature is working on the fiscal year 11 budget, but all of their revenue projections are based on really where we end the year this year. So it's really important to find out how we're actually doing as far as revenues collected versus what we thought they would be a year ago, and then as they are revised in this last December. And then as we continue to add month after month of additional revenues actually coming in, we revise those revenue estimates up or down based upon the most current data. And so this year, I had shared with legislative leaders the most current information that we've been able to come up with. The actual revenues coming in year to date are not keeping track with what we had hoped they would be in December. We've looked back and our sales tax revenues aren't keeping track. The other large revenue sources are slow as well. In fact, if you were to consider them, we had expected that the revenues for fiscal year 10, the one that we're in right now, would be down about 3.2% from what they were in 2009. And that's what we based our proposals on in December. Now, we've got a couple more months under our belt, and they're not exact yet. But based upon the Christmas sales, we've discussed with legislative leaders and the appropriators have this information. Right now, it would appear that rather than going down only 3.2%, we're projected to move down at about 6.2%. So there's a significant change that we're seeing right now. We're not basing the new budget on these new numbers yet because we'll have another full month of information coming in. And so we'll have more exacting data as we add another month to it before we actually have to finalize our projections for the coming year. But nonetheless, it is of a concern to us because South Dakotans simply aren't spending money yet. Part of it also is because we had significant weather events in December and over the holidays, and so folks didn't spend as much money as what they might have otherwise. We're expecting that if there's any pent-up demand or if there's any pent-up activity in January, that'll be reflected in the next month a series of reports coming in. So right now we're you know, if anything, it's a note of caution, and I think our appropriators are now aware of the fact that, if anything, they're probably not going to have rosy estimates or better estimates or increasing estimates of revenue coming in that they'll base their next year budget on. It'll actually, if anything, it may be equal to or less than what we had projected even in December, and we came down substantially from what they had projected during the last legislative year for this year. So it, overall, if I could leave you with anything today, it's a note of caution, once again indicating that the revenues are not there yet. This recession clearly is not over. We have not bottomed out yet. And we really won't see a recovery until the number of people that are back at work starts to increase. And we're not seeing that yet. So if anything, once again, in our budget, we had suggested that we use $32 million out of reserve funds to get through this very tough budget year coming up. We had suggested the use of about $15 million in one-time funds to get by the rest of this year. I'm still going to ask the legislature, as they ponder and look at this budget, that they still do their best to hold their spending down and that they not spend more than what we had asked for. And I'm going to insist that we really do our best to maintain and not spend more than $32 million out of our reserves. I know that that's their goal. In fact, I think they indicated a vow, but I think it was more of a goal to eliminate the use of budget reserve funds totally. I admire what they're trying to do, and I'm going to encourage them to continue to look for ways in which they can recommend making hard decisions on program cuts if they feel that that's necessary. But I think they have to hold the use of reserve funds down to $32 million this year. Now, with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Governor, the extra, what is it, 3 percentage points drop in revenue projections year to date, how much money would that represent? How big of a budget gap would that?
In December, we had expected that we would have about a $37 million reduction. If it were to continue on the way it is right now, it would be closer to about a $43.7 million dollar change. But that's only through the first seven months of collections. So we're talking. There's an easier way of looking at it. If you were to consider that we had expected a 3.2% reduction in revenues from last year to this year, we're currently running at a minus 6.2%. In order just to get back even to where we were in December, we could not lose more than a minus 2.7 for the rest of the year. So we'd have to have maintain the same as what we've got right now. We'd have to actually have a pretty good sized bump in new revenues coming in to where we would only average out a minus 2.7 over last year. And it's going to be very difficult to do that.
Those revenue numbers you just talked about, those are collections through January?
There's two parts. It's the collections of all of the revenue sources through January, with the exception of the sales tax and contractors excise taxes. Those always lag because of the reporting period that retailers get an extra amount of time to report. So we don't get the January reports on sales until next month. These reflect the December collections or the December sales that are reported in January. So the cumulative is the actual sales taxes that were paid by South Dakotans in South Dakota in January will be reported before about the middle part of March. So these reflect only up through the end of December in sales tax and excise tax.
Governor, you mentioned that the sales tax revenues for December were very disappointing. Is that, among the various different economic indicators that you have, or is that an anomaly, or were other things like employment, bankruptcies, things like that, were those also, in other words, was it just that people weren't buying for the weather or something, or did the economy in South Dakota take a dive as a whole?
A little bit of both. I think, you know, and we can try to attribute what might be causing it. If you compare just December sales, I'm just going to go back in and look at some numbers here once I can share a little bit with you about what they were. If you look at the actual revenue fiscal year 2009 versus actual revenue fiscal year 2010, and now this would include the December sales tax numbers, we're down. We had expected about 60. Well, we had collected 60,551,000 in 2009, in December of 2009. Down this year by $1,140,000, or 1.9%, to $59,411,000. Contractor's excise tax was down $140,000, or 2.1%. Bank franchise has continued to really lead in terms of the largest single reduction. They're down about 23% in the month. And year-to-date, bank franchise is down 21.8%. They used to be one of our top five collection points. They've dropped out of the top five now, simply because the financial institutions aren't making a profit, and they're not paying money based on it. And that's the closest thing we have to an income tax style approach. It's a franchise fee that financial institutions pay, and it gives you a good indication why we don't rely more heavily on an income tax type approach in South Dakota. Along with the bank franchise, license permits and fees were down slightly, and that really was the largest. But the largest single net increase was the sales and use tax in December.
What kind of dollar impact does bank franchise drop have? Is it 20% from a very small base?
No, it really is not. In fact, if you look year to date, bank franchise last year in December we had, if you looked at what we collected last year through year to date, January year to date, bank franchise was worth about $25.3 million. This year, through year to date, it's worth $19.8 million, down $5.5 million. And so that's a pretty significant hit. Now, we had expected some of that, though. And so we had built in some reduction in the bank franchise fees. For us, the biggest single issue here continues to be sales and use. It's just, we're not through this recession yet. You know, when you look at large percents, we talk about the bank franchise being a large percent, where 20% equates to $5.5 million. With sales and use tax, if you looked, the actual revenues 2009 versus collected in 2010, we're down 4.4%. That's $17.9 million. So it's a smaller percentage, but it's a larger part of all the money collected.
That's year to date.
Year to date, yeah. And once again, these are actual numbers comparing last year year to date versus this year year to date. We knew it would be down, and so we built in last year a further reduction. This is simply more than what we had even built in last March, and even more than what we had built in December. And so what we're saying is that we're not out of this recession. The recession has not stopped. And our concern is that the most recent numbers coming in are December sales, and that might have been skewed by the fact that we had really lousy weather over the Christmas holidays. So what we're telling legislators is that, you know, the report is not good, and we have to be cautious. But we also want to get another month under our belt to find out whether we have a rebound in January actual sales within the state.
So if the budget situation continues to get worse, obviously you proposed trying no more than $32 million. You said earlier you were sticking to that. Are you going to propose additional cuts if the revenues continue to drop, or are you going to leave that in the legislators' hands?
Well, at this point, it becomes kind of a team effort because they're here now. They have the opportunity. I will once again go back in and ask them to reconsider some of the changes that I had already proposed that they appear right now not to be accepting. I do think they're going to have to look at holding property tax rates the same as last year rather than trying to give additional tax relief. They may have some other ideas in some other areas. I know that the contractor's excise tax, there's a number of legislators that are looking at our proposal for contractor's excise tax changes in terms of incentives. I'm going to ask them to look very carefully at that, because I think some of them are counting on more money coming in from that than what it actually would amount to next year. I want them to be very careful on how they estimate what the increase in revenues might be if they were to make changes. I know that there's a couple bills floating up out there right now, and I can't allow them to be overly optimistic about improvements. I know in an earlier Democrat proposal, they had suggested that they'd come up with like $17 or $18 million in savings by changes in the contractor's excise tax rebates. And we don't see anything close to that in their proposal. I think we're in agreement that we have to revise it, and I'm glad to see that that'll probably get some bipartisan support. But I don't think the amount that we're going to get is even close to what they're estimating. We're based upon the plan that we put in, it's about $3.5 million, and that's pretty optimistic. We may have to take a further look at that to see how we come up with a final thing. There's two pieces to it. Number one is we put together what we thought was a revised plan that would treat businesses fairly that have looked but have not yet started in making changes in projects. And then from there, we worked backwards to see what the impact would be both next year and then long term. We didn't set that up with a goal of coming up with so much next year as much as if we made the following changes, what would it do, and is it fair? And so once again, as they move through the process, there may be some other ideas about how to get to the same numbers now, or at the same time making it workable for businesses that want to do business in South Dakota and who see this as impacting their ability to complete projects in South Dakota. We'll work with them. We've had discussions with a couple of them about projects that they have on the drawing board and might be subject to this revised tax rate that impacts them negatively. But at the same time, we have to pay our bills. And sometimes if you're providing rebates to projects that might otherwise come to South Dakota anyway, I think taxpayers are saying everybody's got to ante up a little bit here to balance this budget.
Governor Dave Law, can you tell me how the credit card companies in South Dakota are adjusting to the new law? Are you hearing anything yet? How healthy they are?
One of the concerns that we have expressed, Dave, as you know, is that the new laws are just now beginning to go into effect. I believe middle of February is when they start. They did do some preliminary changes in rates and so forth that the standard cards did and the preferred cards. The low-limit cards, which are being sold to consumers across the country that have poor credit ratings or no credit ratings, that impact has yet to be seen. I know that they're trying some new plans. They're trying to find out whether or not there's an acceptance that would allow us to continue to offer credit to these individuals that have poor credit. The impact, Dave, nationwide impacts about 70 million credit card holders nationwide. So there is a market out there for a higher risk credit card. The problem is being caused by a knee-jerk reaction at the federal level, where they decided to limit the amount of fees that could be charged rather than allowing the market to decide what the pricing should be on high-risk cards. In doing so, it intended to run some of those cards out of business. I don't think there's anybody else out there except some rather marginally regulated loan plans, payday plans, and so forth that could pick up the market. You take 70 million people and take away a credit card that they need to buy a cell phone or to buy an airline ticket or to order something over the internet. You take 70 million credit cards out of the economy over a six-month period of time, that's not going to help recover from this national recession. And so I think there's folks that are in the industry right now that are trying to find a way to still comply with the new federal federal guidelines and still offer credit cards, or at least extend credit and do it without losing money. So, Dave, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get that done, but I know that they're trying right now with some new plans out there, including some rather high interest rate plans on some low-limit cards. If that is acceptable, then maybe, you know, we dodge a bullet here in South Dakota and some people continue to be employed. If not, I'm very concerned about maintaining. There's about 5,000 jobs that are still at risk in South Dakota.
Governor, Jeff Martin from the Argus Leader.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, have you had any discussions recently with John Morrell regarding the future of the plant in Sioux Falls and or discussion with the company about the closure of the Sioux City plant and how that might impact South Dakota?
We have, through our Office of Economic Development and our Department of Labor, we've stayed in contact with the organization. We have not been advised of any changes coming. We think that it's probably, while it's really tough on the folks in Sioux City, it does appear to be slightly favorable to Sioux Falls because some of the activity that was happening in Sioux City will now move to Sioux Falls. So we've had no indication from the company that suggests that there would be detrimental impacts in Sioux Falls, and we've had no indication from the organization, from Morrell's, that there would be cutbacks. If anything, it appears to strengthen, at least in the intermediate and short term, the prospects for the Sioux Falls facility. The bigger challenge for us is to continue to find hogs in the upper Midwest. If you're going to keep a plant open, you've got to have the commodity product, the hogs, available. And we're hopeful that they're able to do that and that we have a strong livestock market in the upper Midwest, because if you've got that market to produce a finished product there, and Morrell's, as you know, has a very, very good, solid reputation and a great market presence, that's one thing that we just simply don't want to lose. And they've been a very good employer in South Dakota and throughout the southeastern South Dakota for a number of years, and everything right now that we're being told continues to be encouraging. So direct contact with them has been limited, but only because it's the answer is no news is good news, and the news that we are receiving seems to indicate a stronger presence rather than a weaker presence with the shutting down of that Sioux City plant.
Governor, this is Jonathan Ellis with the Argus Leader.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, a House committee killed the local sales tax option. The Department of Revenue testified against that bill. Was that your request?
I think the department's discussion centered on, and I did not have a chance to hear the actual committee discussion yet. The sales tax revenues that are collected by the state of South Dakota include some money for communities, some money for the state. It is the state's primary revenue source. We did have, and I did not support the bill in its current form. I do believe that there are opportunities for a revenue source to be developed specifically on a project-by-project basis for large capital projects within the state, specifically those that are being supported. And the one in Sioux Falls, I personally think that an event center in Sioux Falls would be a very positive move. The problem is that the bill in its existing form would have allowed the municipalities to have literally an open access to the next penny of sales tax. I disagreed with the way the bill was written. We think there's a better way to do it. It's going to be challenging to write it correctly, but you can't take a penny, put it in, and simply have access to that when the state may very well need to ask citizens in the future for either a 1 cent increase or a temporary 1 cent increase should emergencies arise. And so I think at this stage of the game, to simply allow the communities to be able to access the next 1 cent probably was not timely. I think if there was a way to limit it to where if you had a penny increase for a particular project on a one-time basis, with those dollars collected being shared with other communities around the state, that might be saleable. But it would be limited, it would be short-term, it would be specific, and it would not be open-ended. I think the proposal that did come out, while well-intentioned, would have amounted to simply a one-cent increase in a lot of communities, and pretty soon it would have been buried, and people would have wondered where that one penny was going, because it would have been buried in one project after another across the state.
So, Governor, what you're saying is if the people of Sioux Falls had voted to raise a penny, your thoughts are that that money should be shared not just with projects here in Sioux Falls, but also with other communities.
Yes, and there's ways that it could have been done, either through economic development of funds at the state level, in which there could have been part of made available to other communities for their capital projects. But remember, it's not just citizens in Sioux Falls that spend money at the mall or spend money downtown. People come in from all over because it's a great place to do business, and we like the fact that people from not only South Dakota but from Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska come in because it's a great shopping location. And we thought that if there was a way to do a one-time deal, put in specifically enough dollars to help fund it with an incentive, but then in order to literally catch the attention of other people in South Dakota, allow some of that sales tax money that would be collected to go back into some of those communities for those other capital projects that they simply don't have the resources or the ability to collect sales tax on. If community members in a small town travel to Sioux Falls and that's where they spend their money, then it means their community, while still in need, doesn't have the ability to compete with a mall that Sioux Falls does. A part of that could very well have been set aside for economic development efforts in smaller communities around the area. I still think that has possibilities in the future. I'm still supportive of the concept of the event center. I think that would help not just Sioux Falls, but other communities as well. And I think it would have been a quality of life issue for a lot of folks that want to come in and participate in cultural events as well. So I'm still thinking that in the future, if we can get some folks to take a second look at it, there's possibilities, and if not this year, next year. But I don't think open-ended promises of being able to pick up another penny sales tax whenever needed for a project is probably the right way to go. I think it would have had to have been more specific with an ending date on it.
Governor, one more question back on the budget. And you've discussed this before, but I want your opinion on it now. Republicans in the legislature want to pass a budget for next year that would not use reserves by making budget cuts. What do you think? There's much chance they'll be able to find that level of cuts?
As I shared with legislative leaders, if we thought it could be done, we would have done it. And right now, the vast majority of the money that we collect in the general fund goes to education, and it goes to matching federal dollars for Medicaid. The huge increase in expenses this year came in one area, and that was Medicaid. And that was because literally we have thousands more people on Medicaid this year than last year. It is an entitlement plan. If you qualify, then we have to match the federal resources. In fact, our state budget is going up in general funds less than 1% this year. Last year it went up less than 1%. The year before it went up less than 1%. We are using the same amount of general fund money now. In fact, if these revenue projections follow through, we will actually be spending less general funds in this year and in next year than what we did 2 years ago. So our revenues are not increasing, and really the only place where you're finding increases in general fund expenditures is in Medicaid. If you take a look at our proposed December budget, the budget is going up about $51 million. Medicaid is going up $52 million. And so that means everything else in state government is down $1 million. So I think we were pretty tight in terms of any expenditures that weren't absolutely necessary. I think it's a noble idea. If they would have walked in and said, you know, we're just going to accept it, then they wouldn't be doing their job. And so, as I shared with them to begin with, they said, look, we're going to do our best not to spend any reserve funds. And I said, that's fine. I understand. But please recognize it as a goal and not as a vow, because it may sound good to be able to say that you're going to commit your members to not using any. But when it comes right down to it, you're going to have some very difficult decisions to make, because the low-hanging fruit has been cut already. Second year in a row, no increase for state employees in salary policy. Second year in a row, no increase in money for providers. That's providers that take care of people in nursing homes in lots of small communities. No increase for the doctors and nurses that take care of people that are on Medicaid. So their rates are being held the same. And for the first time, we've asked that they hold education at the same amount that we've paid as last year. And I know that they would love to be able to go back home and assure people that they would send money back. It's the reason why, for the first time since 1995, we would have had no increase in the amount of property tax or money for additional property tax relief. We would have held that the same this year. And I know that they would prefer not to have that happen. But right now, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to do that, and I think they should be recognizing it as a goal, but not as a vow. And we'll continue to work with them in areas in which we can be efficient. But if you really want to cut a lot of money, you got to go to where the money's at. And you know, the money is not in the bureaucracy anymore. It's in direct payouts for education and Medicaid. That's where the money's at. And I just don't think they have the desire to make major structural changes in education funding this year, or major structural changes in funding Medicaid.
Governor, I have a question about the winter weather. Is there any talk or concerns when we start to thaw out about how this might impact the communities? Will it impact our budget?
We are in the middle of doing the pre-planning for a response to not only additional significant severe weather in terms of snow and wind and ice, we're also doing the planning right now for expected flooding in specifically within eastern South Dakota. We have been in contact with the emergency managers in the different counties. We've asked them for their assessments of the areas that are of most concern to them. We continue to stay in touch with the National Weather Service in terms of their expectations about flooding on the Jim, the Big Sioux, and so forth. We expect flooding in eastern South Dakota this year. The extent and the timing is yet to be determined. A lot of it is going to depend on how much more snow we do get in the snowiest parts of the year for us, and then how quick the melt comes. I think a lot of people living along the Jim recognize that the Jim didn't quit running this year, and so it was already filled. A lot of our soils are already saturated. We do expect to have some flooding. How significant it is and where it starts and how long it lasts really is going to be dependent on the next, you know, the March snow and then the April melt. This is looking more and more like 1997. And at that time, we lost roads, we lost bridges, we lost culverts. You know, we did some things since then. You know, we've improved some of the roads, we've built roads up, we've made larger culverts, larger bridges, and so forth. but the possibility of flooding is definitely there. So we're doing the pre-planning right now. We'll pre-stage sandbags. We'll pre-stage equipment. We'll begin doing that closer to the time in which the actual event starts to occur. There will be a cost involved. We don't know whether or not we would qualify for any FEMA money. We won't know that until after the impact is known. The FEMA guidelines have changed since 1997. Now you not only have to reach a certain dollar amount in terms of damages, but you also have to have a record event. And if you don't have a record event or within 10%, you may not qualify. In 1997, we did have a significant impact on our budget. Both our roads and bridges, local roads and bridges, as well as the cleanup and the snow removal efforts. So, yeah, I mean we're aware of it. We're doing some preliminary planning right now, but it'll be a couple more weeks before we're really ready to come out and talk about how we're going to handle it in the budget. Because you can't really go in and say we think we're going to have this or we think we're going to have that. You got to have some pretty good prognosis completed first.
Governor, you mentioned flooding in eastern South Dakota. Is there any concern about the Missouri River Basin and reservoir levels could get so high that discharge bubbles cause flooding problems downstream from the dam?
I don't think anybody is raising an alarm yet. We do know that we have a significant snowpack in the plains. This last year, that's really led to the significant increase in Lake Oahe's level was snowpack and heavy rains east and west of the river. We know right now we've got significant snow amounts in the same drainage area as before. I don't know what Montana looks like in terms of their snow. They'll get a significant amount of their snow in March once again. So it's probably too early to tell on that, but with the levels as high as they are right now, it is something to watch, and it's something that we're cognizant of, but it's not something to where the alarm bells are going off yet. Anything else? If not,